Transform the way you hunt with the all-new Base cellular trail camera connected by the Moultrie mobile app. Moultrie Mobile's industry-best app gives you complete control over your camera settings, up-to-the-minute updates from the field, and other interactive scouting tools on your smartphone or computer. Features like weather forecast, advanced species recognition, interactive maps, and a whole lot more. For more information and to make your purchase, visit www.moultriemobile.com.
Welcome to Maximize Your Hunt, the podcast dedicated to those who want the most out of their hunting property. This podcast explores land management, habitat improvement, and hunting strategies that will help you maximize your time in the field. Follow along as industry professionals that live and breathe whitetail deer share their secrets to success. And now, the founder of Whitetail Landscapes, your host, John Teeter.
Hi, I'm John Teeter, Whitetail Landscapes. This is Maximize Your Hunt. We got another hunting tactics situation today. Steve's going to bring on one of a guest that actually I've followed for a long time. I don't know him personally, but I'm happy to have him on this. He reminds me a little bit of me back in the day. I used to do a lot of suburban hunting. I hunted in places around my house, industrial parks. So I can kind of relate to this guy a little bit. Lee Ellis is his name. He's with Seek One. Steve's going to be doing most of the Q&A today. I'm taking a break. I've been on a bunch of podcasts myself. The only thing I want to lead with is I hope everybody is paying attention to the level of detail that we're providing in these podcasts, right? The intention here is to give you real hunting tactics that are going to get you in the game and ahead of the rest of the people that are trying to do this out there. And it's a competitive environment we all live in. So it's going to be good to talk about this today. All right, Steve, are you on?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. Lee, hey, you on, buddy?
I'm here.
All right, great. All right, Lee, why don't you introduce yourself real quick, and then we'll let Steve roll with the punches and we'll kind of bang this out.
Yeah, so name's Lee from Atlanta. Didn't grow up. I'll try to keep it in a nutshell, but didn't grow up in a hunting family. Didn't grow up in an area where obviously hunting was common. I didn't have, you know, any family land or leased property or any public land readily available to kind of where I lived. And long story short, with my buddy Drew, he comes from a hunting family. We met in eighth grade, became buddies. Started taking note that there was some deer, you know, kind of around the suburbs of Atlanta. And we were like 15 years old, couldn't even drive yet, and started knocking on doors. And got our first spot at like 16 years old, and just had one spot that we shared. And that kind of opened the doors to, you know, once we could drive, just kind of expanding on that one spot and just door knocking like crazy and finding some pretty unique animals in some overlooked places, and started the YouTube channel, and now we are doing that in other states.
So, yeah, Lee, it's awesome, you know, following you guys over the years. Some of the deer, like, I mean, you talk very humbly. Some of the deer that you've taken and gotten on are deer that would be considered world class literally anywhere in the world. So it's an honor to have you on. Like I said, we're going to keep this kind of short and sweet, but kind of what I touched on in our pre-conversation is when I met you last spring there at the Spartan Forge retreat, and you talked about using the Spartan Forge prediction app, and you know, obviously I'm on the pro staff as well, and, you know, I know a little bit about it, but I'm still learning as I go here. But what I was amazed about is how you were able to, I mean, there's a huge difference between knowing when deer are moving and then using this app, as it says, it's in its core area, or today's, like, abnormal movement. Can you talk about that one particular buck, which was a tremendous deer that you took last year, and kind of how you used the predictions to kind of narrow things down on him?
Yeah, so I'm still learning every day as I tinker with the app more and just learn more about it, of kind of how to best sort of utilize that. Spartan Forge is like a very effective tool, and the prediction piece – Obviously, Bill, I mean, you know the background. Bill took a lot of deer data from GPS collared deer and basically built that model on, you know, that data and weather patterns and all that good stuff. And there's a difference in an app that's like, hey, today's a good day to hunt.
Right.
Deer are going to move. Well, okay, that's good to know. But, like, if I've got, you know, four or five places that I want to hunt or could hunt, like, where should I go? You know, especially if you're kind of hunting a specific deer. And what's different about what you can do with that is, like, you're getting core area predictions, you're getting transition area predictions, you're getting full range predictions. And if you can combine those predictions with history or just knowledge of a deer, like what you've been able to learn about that deer, it can be like really deadly.
Right.
And the kind of what I mean by that is, like, you know, it's almost, it's not useless, but like if you're after a certain buck and you don't know a thing about him, like you don't know where his core area is. If you get a core area prediction, the only thing you may know is, well, I'm not in his core area, so I'm not going to see him.
Yep.
And obviously, like, the app's not 100%. Like, you know, it's deer are still deer.
Sure.
But when you have history with a deer where it's like, you know, you kind of learn where his summer area is, you sort of learn where he likes to go during the rut, and you know, kind of where he starts to branch out of that summer range and stuff like that. Like, that's where the prediction piece is extremely helpful. I'm still, even this year, I've got a story last year I'll tell you, but even this year, like, I'm in the middle of three different deer journeys. And every single one of them is relating to Bill's predictions. And it's pretty cool to watch.
Absolutely. Now, that deer, when you said you had history with it, was it just like 1 year, 2 years? Like, how much time did you have invested in that deer last year that, you know, that the app really led you to have success on?
So I had 2 years of history with that deer. I had history with him in 2020 from summer all the way to the end of the year, and then 2021 summer all the way until I killed him. So,
Did you, like, you know, basically trail camera photos, because this was before the app, like, how did you compile, like, all that information to know, like, I think I remember you saying when you killed them, it was a core area movement prediction, and that's where you got them, is that correct?
Yeah. So, I have people that tell me that this is a gift of mine, but it's my brain works in weird ways. You know how, like, if you hear a song that used to be like your jam, but it was like 15 years ago, but you hear it on the radio and you remember every single word. That's kind of how my brain works with like trail cam pictures and deer.
Me too.
Like, I can see it, you know, I've got hundreds and hundreds of different deer that I've got pictures of, but like, if you pull any trail cam picture from, you know, 7, 8, like however many years ago, I can tell you exactly what deer it was and where it was taken. Even deer that I'm not hunting. It's just like, so I guess my point in saying that is like, I pay attention to a lot of deer. Mm-hmm. And even though I wasn't hunting that particular deer that year in 2020 before Bill's predictions and Spartan Forge, like, I was still logging in my head, like, oh, I'm seeing him here. I'm seeing him here and at this time of the year and that time of the year. And like, I'm kind of almost just cataloging like his movements, because that's a deer that I may want to hunt next year. And
yep.
Knowing that information about that deer, like, is critical.
Absolutely.
To putting yourself in a position to take that deer. So, the prediction piece in particular, so I knew where this deer, his summer range was, and he would hang there till you know, a couple weeks into the season, like, he'd still be in that core area a lot. Whether he was using daylight or not, you know, was the issue. But he was in that area. And so I was hunting him all during that time. Just never was able to cross paths with him. And then, you know, when these deer start to kind of branch out from their summer patterns and they're getting to explore a little bit more, that's sometimes when they're really difficult to hunt.
Yep.
And what I was noticing with that particular deer was when he was in that sort of exploratory phase, like it's October, I've honestly, like, previously, like, I've never really had that much luck hunting deer in October. I just never really have.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a huge challenge.
Yeah. And so that deer was, you know, he'd show up over here, he'd show up over there, he'd show up in his core area again. And it's just, you're kind of, it's the cat and mouse. Like, he shows up on this camera a half mile away. Well, you go to sit that spot and he's already gone and moved on back to his core area or back to that. So you're just like kind of always one step behind.
Yep.
And so what I knew about this deer was I knew where his core area was. I knew where, you know, when these deer start to expand their circle, their range, like, I knew where he, at least last year, the previous year, went. So I was looking at Spartan Forge the whole time, and I'm seeing this deer on this cameras, and it's matching up most of the time. When it's like I see the core area prediction, I'm seeing him in his core area. When I'm seeing the transition area predictions, I'm seeing him sort of expand his range. Yep. And then when I'm seeing those full range predictions was when I was seeing him, like, in his full, you know, where he goes to chase does, type of range. So it was, I think it was like third week of October. So I think it was like third week of October when I killed that deer. And, you know, I'm seeing this deer now on like three different cameras, and I've got stands on all of them, and I'm sitting there trying to decide, like, what stand to go to. And so I looked at Spartan Forge, and I've been studying it and seeing how it's been matching up, and I got a core area prediction. So I went to his summertime area and sat that stand that I've had on that core area, and he came out, you know, 30 minutes before dark, and gave me a shot. And it's like it absolutely helped hone me in on that deer, and like it helped me put myself in the right position at the right time to cross paths with that deer. And if I wasn't paying attention to those predictions, like, I'd probably still be a step behind that deer. Like, oh, he showed up over here, I'll go over there.
That's just insane. that's what fascinated me so much about when you said that, because I feel like if you're someone who, in which a lot of people are these days, that are using some type of app or some way of help to predict deer movements, and most of us are wanting and watching for, like, that full range, or, like you said earlier, okay, today's a day when the deer are moving everywhere. But I feel like it was most intriguing how you were able to, you know, look at that core area movement prediction when really that's probably might not even be the greatest day to be hunting deer overall. But, you know, you believed in what it said and you honed in on that core area and took that buck. Would you say that it could potentially have been the best prediction, as far as that might have been the easiest time to kill that deer because it said core area versus if it was a full range day?
Yeah. I mean, if you know where the core area is of a deer, like, you know, it's typically their summer range, from what I've seen, but it also varies. Like, if you're familiar with where a deer's sort of core area is, I mean, I think core area days, like, you know, someone may not look at that and be like, oh, I got to be in the woods. But yep, if you know where a buck's core area is, like, sometimes, you know, a full range, like, that deer could be anywhere. I mean, he's, you know, traveling a large area. Exactly. But the core area predictions is when, like, he's almost sort of honing back into, you know, a smaller area that, like, you know, if you're familiar with where his core area is, you can kind of use that to try and cross paths with him.
Yep.
You know, back in that tighter spot of his.
Yeah, that's what's most fascinating to me. I think hunting individual deer, you want to be able to take that deer or hone in on that deer when he's in his core area versus, you know, if he's out there roaming around all over the place. I think a day when, you know, you might see a more of a full range prediction, that's kind of a day where maybe you put yourself in an area where there's multiple shooters or something. But a lot of people, you know, I just think overlook, like, certain days, and even myself, like, I'm more of a, you know, prime deer hunting weather person, but I also was, you know, like I said, I learned a lot listening to you that day on how you kind of sat back, and when you saw that he, you know, was likely going to be in his core area, I mean, that was just huge to be able to go and capitalize on that. So I feel like we, you know, I know we could talk about that individual deer for hours, but obviously we're in a short time span here. Also, you know, what's so amazing about you is, you know, you're not just taking deer in suburbs and just one city anymore. Like, what are you, like, just knocking on doors in many different cities? Like, what's your approach to be able to have the success that you have and, you know, traveling all over the country now doing what you're doing?
Time. That is the biggest it factor is time. And I'm super blessed that I get to do this full time. So, like, I can, you know, this isn't a 9-to-5 for me. Like, I don't pack it up at 5 o'clock and shut it down. Like, it's, I mean, it never stops for me. Like, I'm in Michigan right now. And, you know, I drove up to Michigan from Atlanta in February.
Wow.
And started doing some door knocking. found a nice deer last year, and then had kind of a couple deer I was trying to track down, but found a nice deer last year. I ended up getting like 3 or 4 spots for that deer. And I drove up here. I think I've driven up here 4 or 5 times now.
Wow. That's a long drive.
Yeah. It's, I'm like 150 hours in on, car driving. That's just to and from Michigan.
Wow.
And so, you know, the time that I can put into it is everything. So, you know, I found that deer last year. I got 3 or 4 spots. And I was running cameras on all of them. I made a trip up here in August, and I, even though those deer are not taking the scrapes that time of year, I went ahead and put in the right looking branches and got everything set up to where when they shed, they'd start taking to them. And I've got a buck right now that is one I found last year, and it's been a long time coming to be able to hunt this deer and pursue this deer. And,
wow.
It's also funny because, I know where this deer's core area is, and I'm hunting this buck in a marsh right now. And I've run a camera in this marsh since February of last year, or I guess February of earlier this year, and never saw him in there until the first full range prediction that Spartan Forge gave for this area. And that was the day he showed up in the marsh.
Wow.
And then it was a bunch of courier predictions after that. Wasn't seeing him. And then the next transition area prediction I got, boom, he shows back up in the marsh. And so now I think this deer is sort of honed in on this marsh, and I'm pursuing, you know, hunting that deer up here.
Till you get him.
The problem is to not go ahead.
No, I want to know the game. I want to know the game plan. I want to understand how you're going to break this deer down.
Exactly.
The marsh buck I'm on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, it's funny. Like, you know, I'm in an suburban area, and these deer, like, it's different up north, and I've realized that than south, like Atlanta. Some of these bucks are extremely, like, they're just not visible. They have so much, they'll hide like crazy. But some of these deer up here, they know their safe zones is in literally in people's yards. And what I've learned is a lot of these bigger pieces, the more obvious pieces of ground, bigger woods, it's all being hunted. And these deer are like purposely avoiding these larger blocks of woods. So you would think that these deer living in a suburban area would be like, you know, not care about human scent and just kind of lollygagging around or whatever. And that is true to an extent when they are around those houses. Like if they see someone at the house and they can smell them and they see them, they won't really, I mean, they'll keep their distance, but they don't really, it's not a threat to them. This marsh I'm hunting, this particular buck, like, you know, he's seen in people's backyards, but he's hunkered down in this marsh, and I'll bet you not a human has walked in this marsh in several years.
Wow.
I mean, it's uninhabited. Just people don't go in there. And anyways, the difference in them experiencing it, like a human scent in a zone like that is a night and day difference when they're by a house and they can see and label what they're smelling. So I got busted my first sit. I went in the middle of this marsh and I got a picture of him that morning. So I knew he was most likely in there. And I was like, I'm going to get in there. If I was smart, I would have kept hunting just the edges and taken my time and, you know, enough time in the stand that deer would have worked at the edge and I would have had a chance and probably not have much intrusion on that marsh. But I got pretty aggressive and I just like, I wanted to dive into the middle of the thing. That's not what I normally would do, like if I was being smart, but I was like, I want to get in there with them. And so I went in and hung a set and I got in the middle of this marsh and he was in there and came out behind me and he just kind of circled sort of downwind of me and boogered out. But I've backed out of that area and I'm going to hunt the edges now. I'm hoping that I didn't like booger him out too bad.
He's probably just shot, saw someone in there.
Yeah. And so my strategy is to be as non-invasive as possible. Treat that marsh like it is literally their sanctuary and just stay out as much as I possibly can. And just, there's a hardwood edge and there's some white oaks that are dropping and these deer are coming out of the marsh, but they've got so much to eat in there. It's not like they're just pounding these oaks. And I got a mock scrape that he's taken to, that's kind of pulling him out of the marsh. So I'll probably just like, play my winds right and just keep hunting the edges as opposed to trying to get in there with him.
Is he, pretty nocturnal still, or are you seeing some daylight activity as far as coming out?
I've seen him, twice on my trail cam, once was in daylight in the morning, and then the other time was after dark. I think that he's just literally buried up in this marsh, and he's coming out kind of after hours.
Yep.
It's just funny. Like you'd think, you know, oh, it'd be a stupid suburban deer. Like they're just dumb and they smell humans and they don't, you know. But it's not the case at all.
Do you find, like, it is a little different in places? Like, is Michigan, you said there's some other hunting pressure up there. Would you say, you know, that you're in a more challenging environment compared to maybe, you know, Georgia area? Or what are the differences you're seeing?
Yeah, they all have different challenges. Atlanta, to me, like, I'll always love to hunt my old stuff in Atlanta, but I almost feel like I've conquered it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, just to be clear, but I just feel like I've had success in Atlanta. I want to go somewhere else. Like I'm looking for a new adventure and like a different playing field.
Sure.
Michigan, you can't bait at all. And so you're just running cameras on trails and scrapes and stuff like that. Georgia, you can bait, which helps sort of, those bigger bucks are super leery to bait, but at least helps you kind of like consistently get trail cam picks at night and stuff and sort of figure out what to do from there. But, I've just learned it's very, you know, I can go 3 miles from here and be in a totally different environment than where I'm at now. Dealing with people has proven to be very difficult up here in Michigan. I got followed I got followed the other night. This is funny. This marsh buck that I'm hunting, he was summering in a neighborhood that had a lot of wooded acreage. And he's since moved into this marsh, but when I first got up here, I was like, I'm gonna drive through this neighborhood and just like be peering around and see if I don't get a glimpse of him somewhere. And it was dusk and stuff, so I'm driving around and this car gets behind me. I'm like, man, they sure are making every turn I'm doing. And so long story short, I was like, if I take one more right turn and they follow me, like 100% they're following me, and I'm gonna say something or just like, you know, ask what's going on. Take this right turn. They take the right turn. I was like, okay, yeah, they're following me. So I pull over. It was a husband and wife, and they were just dog cussing me.
Wow.
And we know what you're doing. You're looking for deer. Like, I mean, just dog cussing me.
Wow.
F you, like F that, you know, this, that, and the other. And the wife was scary. The husband was more calm. It was kind of funny. Like, a part of me was like, I kind of want to be a smart ass. And just like, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to like, I'm going to be calm. And I basically told him, I was like, look, we can be calm and have a productive conversation here, or we can just keep yelling at each other, like, and get nothing out of this. Like, what do y'all want to do? They eventually calmed down, and we ended up they invited me to dinner. I had dinner with them that night with their four kids.
Wow, that's amazing how you turned that situation around.
Huh. Yeah. So but, like, I got sidetracked there, but it's just the people are different.
And no, that's even, you know, similar to me in a public land situation, although we don't have as much for anti-hunters, but whenever start running into people, you know, if you don't have your own private little piece to yourself, it definitely throws a whole different, you know, wrench in the ball game or an added curveball here and there. So I know what you're feeling. But Lee, I think we've had you about a half hour here. John, is there anything that you want to add or ask Lee about?
Maybe one thing, Lee, and I followed you in the beginning of time when you first started the Seek One stuff, and I was always intrigued by you. I do think you conquered what you did in Atlanta, so I think you should sit on that, and I'll give you some accolades for that. And I like the fact that you're pushing the limits by trying these other areas, and I think you're seeing culturally the differences, and the type of hunting pressure in those environments obviously are a little unique, and you know, the strategy that goes into that particular deer that you were breaking down. And I hope you get that deer. But I'm kind of interested in one little point, and this goes back to the suburban hunting you used to do, is you're taking some data off the corn piles or whatever bait stations that you have. And I'm assuming you're walking that information back to a core location where you think the deer are resident. And obviously you're dealing with, you know, neighborhood pressure and, you know, all sorts of different pressures that stimulate deer to kind of move in different areas. But can you just kind of walk quickly through your process of taking the camera data, trying to co-locate a deer, and then, you know, diagnosing how to attack him, maybe a deer that you had, you know, maybe some time ago, and just quickly a discussion on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously like deer will come to corn and feed, but a mature buck, there's pros and cons to all of it. When you're not feeding, maybe I'm getting sidetracked here, but hopefully I'll come for full circle at some point. When you're not feeding those deer and you're just hunting them in a natural way, like those deer are not on near the level of alert they are as to when they're coming to a bait pile. And I think that when you're hunting around bait piles, like those deer are patterning you very, very quickly because they're spending a lot of time there around you. And they're usually hanging early in the morning hours when you're walking in and blowing them out, or they're hanging around way after dark and you're climbing down from your tree and just, you know, blowing them out. So it's like, you know, hunting around bait is very difficult and tricky, and it's useful, especially with like getting camera information. But like a lot of times if I'm feeding somewhere and I'm getting trail cam data, and I don't always hunt around bait. It's always state to state. But sometimes I'll hunt off and away from that feed and try to catch them coming as opposed to, you know, gathering around that pile. Like usually a mature buck, if he's going to show up in daylight, it's going to be right at last light. So I want to try and catch him when he's on his feet, maybe coming that direction. But I think, you know, utilizing, well, hold on. My brain goes in a lot of directions. Help hone me in here on kind of what the question.
I just wanted definitive to, question. Yeah, was. I just want to. That's good to you telling us about the corn piles and the interest level and how that can be distracting to deer. From that information, you usually walk deer back. You're trying to look at, I'm assuming, you know, what areas they're locating themselves in based on that data. Some could be looking at the time, you know, the gap between where their bedding areas are and that feeding source. Trying to kind of get a diagnostic of where deer are co-locating and how you kind of hone in on a deer based on that data. That was kind of my question.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, feeding, you know, is great for getting data and about deer. Like for example, the buck that that we talked about earlier that I killed last year, you know, I had feed out in front of those cameras in 2020, the year before I killed him. Just take an inventory. Like if he's in the area, I want to make sure that I get a picture of him and gather, you know, get him in front of the camera. You know, when you're not feeding, you're missing a lot of deer activity, just cause they could, you know, take the trail to the left or hit the scrape to the right and you just miss it all. But if I'm like hunting around feed and I'm using trail cameras, sometimes what I'll do is like, if I'm getting a deer and he's nocturnal, like always nocturnal on this bait pile, I will then try and take cameras and put them in the directions that I believe that the deer is coming from. And I won't put more bait out. I'll just try and get a picture of him kind of confirming like which direction he's coming, and then take it a step further and kind of like try to use that to sort of like follow this deer back to where he's bedding and spending his time, and, you know, getting on his feet in daylight. I believe, not obviously not every day, but I believe that mature bucks are not 100% nocturnal. They're on their feet somewhere in daylight. Not every day, but at some point, you know, they're using daylight somewhere. It may not be around your feed pile, but if you know they're coming to it and they're getting there 30 minutes after dark, like he's probably not that far. So try and figure out which direction he's coming from and then try and hone in on him, you know, from that. I've definitely had success in the past of like, you know, finding deer in daylight because, you know, I was getting pictures of them around feed and I'm just, you know, trying to pinpoint kind of where they're coming from.
Yeah, that's good. I like that you're walking back that data and trying to diagnose their core locations. And I think the trick there is you're very consistent with the food sources. So you're giving them some direction to travel and then you're breaking that down, you know, in the background. So, you know, just important thing to note, because I think a lot of people get confused when they talk about bait and they talk about some of the specifics around bait and how to strategize. I deal with that with some of my land clients. So I appreciate that input. That's it really for me, Steve. Go ahead.
Cool.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
Big old Lee. Yep.
I was just going to say, hunting around bait can be extremely tricky. Extremely tricky.
Yeah, I don't think it solves the issue, Lee. I think it makes it more complicated. I think people look at it as a Band-Aid solution, and it's not. But in your case, you're using it to help direct deer, and I think that's a great idea. It just, you may not be using it from a hunting standpoint, like meaning you're not going to kill at that location, but that helps you kind of diagnose their overall movement. I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's it for me. Steve, are you good?
Yep, I'm all good. And Lee, thank you so much. Like I said, I know you're such a busy guy, and just an honor to be able to talk some deer hunting with you. And I'm sure I'll see you again. I think we're going to meet up again this spring or somewhere around that time. So, but you know, once again, just thanks a lot. And also, I appreciate you sharing your faith always wherever you go. And I just pray that God blesses you and continues to lead you in your path and, having such success in the, whitetail industry. So God bless you for that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. You gotta keep the main thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot, Lee. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate being the podcast.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Great. Great. Steve.
Had a good time.
We'll talk next week, man. You're back on next week. Last one.
All right. Best of luck to you guys.
All right. You too. See you guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Maximize Your Hunt is a production of Whitetail Landscapes. For more information on how John Teeter and his team of experts can help you maximize your hunt, check out whitetaillandscapes.com.